Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sunday. Please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. A couple of apologies. First, to Maria and to Janelle. Sorry. When I was just praying, and I just stayed in prayer, and I didn't know you were here. It's my joy to play guitar and join the worship team, but I hope I don't always have to do it. Please pray for a piano player or a guitar player who can come. I prefer to be at the SmileCon before the service to pray and to lift up our church and our service. So if you know someone if you know Jesus, ask him to send some instrumentalists who can play. Also, apologies to our bulletin makers. I meant to send the title on Thursday of the scriptures and the title, but I forgot to press send. But fortunately, we have it. Yes? We're good? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Also, I want to say welcome to our first-time visitors. Ryan and Mai and Yukihiro. Yukihiro, yeah. Welcome to our church. We hope that you feel the love of God and that you feel welcome here. So, I think that covers it. So, now, we're going to read one chapter in the book of Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 4. This is where the fun begins in the book of Revelation. And I want to tell you just a couple of things before you read it. For some of you, it perhaps might be the first time for you to read this. And if so, that's great. I'm so happy that you can read it with us. You're going to see the gospel and the good news in it. If it is not your first time, even better, you'll have a chance to hopefully add to your understanding and to your learning, and that it will feed your soul like we sang just a moment ago in the song, Feed Us, Lord. And then, we are studying the book of Revelation. We've been studying it since November last year. We started at the end, chapter 21 and 22. And then we started at the beginning in January. We preached the first three chapters all the way until 2 weeks ago. And now we'll start with chapter 4. And in chapter 4, I think it is the most important part to understand this book. Many people say that to understand the progress of the book, the outline of the book, you can go to the first chapter in chapter 1. And in verse 19, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, it says, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. And that's Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. What is, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. And many people say, that is the threefold structure of the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, it's what he has seen. The author John, he saw a vision of Jesus in high definition. White hair, white robes, blazing eyes, a sword-like tongue, and, you know, a sash and bronze feet. Amazing. And then in chapter 2 and 3, he wrote about what is now, meaning seven letters to seven churches, which describe the condition of the church, the Christian church, for the last 2,000 years, the church all over the world throughout all of history. And then the third part begins with chapter 4, what happens later. So that's a key to understanding the structure. But I think, and this is not my personal opinion, but after studying it, if you want to understand what happens from chapter 4 until chapter 19 or 20, 21, 22, you have to really understand chapter 4. It's very, very important. Actually, chapter 4 and 5, excuse me. 4 and 5 are one set. Chapter 4 is the setting. Chapter 5 is the drama. Chapter 4 is the plates, the forks, the spoons, the knives, the glasses, and the candlelights. But chapter 5 is the main course. Yeah. We'll get to chapter 5 next week. For now, chapter 4. One more thing before we go. One of my favorite teachers, his name is Don Carson, D.A. Carson, a very authoritative, one of the smartest Bible scholars alive today. He has a sister. With her husband, she went to Papua New Guinea to be a missionary. And this was in the 1990s. And they went to Papua New Guinea to a tribe. You have to go there to an airport, and then you get on a boat that goes up the river into the deep jungle. And there you find a tribe that's so apart from the rest of the world. They were pre-Stone Age people. Pre-Stone Age. It means they did not use stones at all in order to make arrows. The tip of their arrow was made of a hard wood. And they would dip it in poison, and that's how they would hunt for their food. They never used any stone, no rocks, of course, no metal. Okay? Now, let's imagine one of those people, pre-Stone Age, came to Hiroshima, came to you, and you were charged with the responsibility to learn the language of that tribe, okay? So you spend 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, every day learning the words, the vocabulary, the expressions, the life, the world of that person's tribe, and now you are fluent as you can be. You know, you're a foreigner, but you can speak that tribe's language. You still with me? Now, you go into a plane, fly to Papua New Guinea, get on the boat, go up the river, and you are in this village, and you have to describe to this people what is electricity. Pre-Stone Age. So you were like, okay, all right, yeah, all right. Electricity. It's like a spirit. It's like a power. What we do is we put it through, vines, you know, like vines, you know, and the power goes into the vine, and then it comes into our hut, and we put it there, and we put it, the power goes through the vine and into our house, and we have like this, like a kind of box. Is that a word? I don't know. There's a box, and you can put food inside the box, and the power goes into the box, and it makes things hot, so there's no fire, there's no smoke that fills your... It's very difficult, isn't it? Right? You have to use their language to talk about something they have no concept of. Yeah? All right? I mean, we haven't talked about AC, DC, converting, and, voltage or watts or electrons and photons. Nothing like that. Just power. So how do you describe heaven? How do you describe the center of heaven? What words do you use? Are words enough? Right? How do you describe God? His power, his authority, his wisdom, his knowledge, his government. You can say power, authority, wisdom, but what does that mean? How do you describe that? Chapter 4, Revelation. Do you remember the book, or excuse me, not the book, the movie Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin, right? What's the song from Aladdin? Yeah? A whole new world. And so there's the princess, yeah, Jasmine, and, you know, she's wondering if Aladdin is real. And one day, Aladdin comes up to her balcony, and he's floating on a magic carpet, and what does he do? He reaches his hand, and he says, "Come with me. I can show you the world," right? Chapter 4, Jesus is going to take his hand and put it before you. He said, "Come with me. I'm going to show you a whole new world. So come with me." Here we go. Revelation chapter 4. We'll read it together. 11 verses. I'll begin. Okay, I'll start. And you join me at verse 8. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God. Also, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were 4 living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Let's read together. Each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, and who lives forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." The very words of God. Amen. All right. I looked, and there is a hole in space, a portal, a space door, a wormhole, whatever, right? A gate, a space gate. There was a door standing, and there was a voice. The voice I had first heard speaking. So whose voice did he hear? Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Said the same thing in chapter 4, verse 1. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Right? Chapter 4, verse 1. This is chapter 1, verse 11 now, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send." So verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, what we just saw in chapter 4. And verse 13, among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, golden sash around his chest. You read the rest of chapter 1, which we preached in January, that's Jesus. Okay? So the voice in chapter 4, we go back to chapter 4. The voice in chapter 4, which sounds like a trumpet, is the voice of Jesus. "Come up here. I will show you what must take place after this." All right, let's do it. Verse 2. At once I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. As opposed to, I'm awake. I'm walking on my feet. I'm in a state of mind. I'm in a sort of thought or consciousness that's more spiritual than physical. I'm in the Spirit. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Okay. The first thing we notice in this vision of heaven, and this vision of God, is this. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. The colors. So we see a throne. Throne. When you see a throne, that means king, authority, power, grandness, majesty. Now, is it like any other throne? Well, there's some stones. This beautiful jasper and this ruby. That's okay. That's an okay translation. So he sees white and he sees red. And around it, I don't know if it's a vertical circle or a horizontal circle or a diagonal. I don't know. But it's like an emerald rainbow, right? So we see white, red, green. Now, you can interpret those colors how you like, okay? There's some things in the Bible that we can use. But the point is not the meaning of the colors. The point is the beauty of the vision, okay? That's the point. Listen. As a church, I understand there's non-Christians here. Here's the thing about Christians. I don't understand why we tell people you're going to hell. Jesus preached more about hell than any other preacher. Yeah. But here's the thing. He never said, "You're going to hell." He preached about hell. He had no problem talking about hell. But he wasn't pointing his finger. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going. Nothing like that. Okay? Instead of pointing his finger, he opened his hands and he fed people. He healed people. He taught people. He served people. He washed feet. And in the end, he stretched out his hands and died for people so that they wouldn't go to hell. And what some people say, that vision, that body on the cross, that is the most glorious, most beautiful thing the world could ever see. In the Romans chapter 2, it says, the kindness of God leads to repentance. Do you understand what this is? Jesus shows John the beauty of the throne room of heaven. That's the first thing he sees. What are we as Christians and as a church showing to non-Christians? You're going to hell? Or is the beauty of the gospel, the love of Jesus? You and I are made for beauty. Christians should be making the most beautiful things. Christians should be singing the most beautiful songs. We should be cooking the most delicious food. Amen, somebody. Amen. We have to listen. That's what you want in life. You want beauty. You don't listen to a good song because it helps you work better or make more money. You listen to a good song because it's a good song. Amen. It's beautiful. You like a good movie because the story is powerful. The ending is amazing. The words, the way that you like those things because you are made for beauty. God made you beautiful. And so here's John. He sees something that's so beautiful. It's hard to describe. He says, well, it's like the most beautiful jasper, ruby. It's dazzling like emeralds. I'm not trying to preach a practical sermon. Forgive me. I know that's popular. Here are 7 things to help you become a better parent. Here are 7 steps to be more successful and significant and blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. It's not about you. It's about God in heaven, sitting on a throne. It's about His beauty. And the more you see with your heart's imagination the beauty of God, that'll make you a better worker, a better husband, a better father. Amen. The beauty, the enormous majesty. The second thing we see is the government of God. His power and authority. We continue. Verse 4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Seated on those thrones were 24 elders. White robes, crowns of gold, right? Now, some of you know me, and you're a friend of mine on Facebook. We're friends on Messenger. Maybe some of you will decide, Pastor Chris, maybe he needs some help babysitting, or maybe we'll just have some dinner at his house one day, right? So you send me a message, Pastor Chris, where's your address? And I'll send you the map on whatever, and you'll come. It's great. Now, let's say you want to go and meet Pastor Hiroshi, the senior pastor of a church. Well, you don't know him, so you talk to me, say, Pastor Chris, I'd like to talk to Pastor Hiroshi. And I'll talk to Pastor Hiroshi, and I'll say, Pastor Hiroshi, so-and-so wants to talk to you. Is that okay? And maybe he'll say yes, maybe he'll say no, I don't know. And then I have to get the, Let's say you want to meet the mayor of Hiroshima. You can't go direct to him. He sits on a throne. Before you get to his throne, you have to get to the other thrones. And you have to get to the ones below that, and below that, and below that. So here's God. He's on the throne. And before him, 24 other thrones. And before that, another 4 thrones. And before that, there's a whole sea, and then there's lightning and thunder, and what's going on? What's going on? I know that in Japan, many people believe that there are many gods in Japan. It's either pantheistic or panentheistic, right? The god of the river, the god of the trees, the god of the sky, the god of the mountain. Maybe the moon is a god, right? These are spirits. Now, you can believe that. It's not what the Bible teaches. But if that's what you think, we'll start there. Maybe there is a god of education, a god of romance, a god of health. And you can give your service to those gods and they'll bless your health. They'll help you get a good education. They'll help you find romance. Okay? Those spirits, they have their temples or they have their shrines. They have their thrones. But let me tell you something. Even if you believe in those gods, there is a throne above them. And there are thrones above those thrones. And you get higher and higher and higher, and you get to one throne that's over all of them. So who are you going to serve? Who is it better to serve? Who would you rather serve? Some lower throne or some higher throne? Or, let's say you're a Christian in the first century, and the one in the throne in your city is maybe persecuting you. He's not allowing you to work, not allowing you to get a business, not allowing you to live, because he's on a throne and he's against you. So you read this letter to Revelation, and it says, above all thrones is the one seated on a great throne. How does that help you? Okay, the 24 elders, okay? What's this 24? What is this? Well, immediately you're thinking, if you understand the Bible or maybe you're familiar with Jesus, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? Now, those 12 disciples were became the 12 great teachers. They're the first teachers of the Christian faith. And in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, you'll see there's a new city called New Jerusalem. It's heaven again. And the gates of this city, the foundations of the city are 12 foundations. They're the apostles, the 12 disciples. And then there's the walls of this city, and there's 12 gates on this wall. And those 12 gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the Old Testament. So there are the 12 tribes of Israel, and then there are the 12 disciples who become the 12 apostles, and those are the foundations and the gates of the city of God. What does it mean? It's the people of God. We are the church. We are God's family and God's people. And God's people from the old covenant and God's people from the new covenant. The first 12 and the last 12. All together, 24. Represented by 12 elders. Or 24 elders. Now, that's one way people like to interpret that. It makes sense with the Bible. It doesn't go against anything. It's not crazy, okay? Also, Jesus says, if you were with us in the past 2 months, Jesus says, if you overcome, when you have your victory, you overcome, I will allow you to sit with me at my right hand. You will also have a throne. And so he's saying to his people, I'm going to lift you up and allow you to sit. So that could be one of it. It's God's people throughout all of history, all over the world. 24 elders. Or angels. I don't have time, but there are other passages in the scripture, even in Revelation, from chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 15. The word elders are being described as angels with authority. And it was one of those elders from one of those 24 thrones who spoke to John and explained to him what's going on. And so if one of the angels is trying to has the job of explaining to John what's happening, another way that you could see those 24 elders is 24 angels. Okay, that's nice. We'll go with that. What's the difference? The point is not what are they? Are they the people of God? Are they the angels of God? It's not the point. The point is the government of God, the organization of God. Even if they are angels, earth is supposed to be a copy of heaven. Earth is supposed to reflect heaven. And if in heaven there are 24 elders, of course we have the 12 and the 12 here on earth. But God has a government. God has a structure. God has an order. That's the point. God is not up in heaven on his throne going, oh boy, yeah, this Trump guy, I don't know what he's going to do. What are we going to do with this, you know, Kim Jong and then this thing over there and then Iran? And God is not shaking his head and pulling his hair out and going, I don't know what. God knows exactly what's happening. He's in control. Nothing's going to worry that. He's got an order to it. In fact, let's get deeper into that order. The four living creatures. We continue. The second part of verse 6. I'll get into the thunder and lightning and all that later. In the center, around the throne, four living creatures. They're covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature like a lion, second like an ox, the third like the face of a man, the fourth like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures, six wings, covered with eyes, above and below, day and night, they're crying. If you know your Bible, if you're a student of the scripture, you understand this is a vision almost exactly the same as a vision in Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 6, he also sees a vision. And the vision is, there are four creatures surrounding the throne. Now, these four creatures, in Isaiah they called them cherubim. In Ezekiel they're called seraphim. They had six wings. They had faces of different animals and a human. What are these beings? Okay. Again, remember the tribe in Papua New Guinea? How do you describe God's glory? How do you describe God's wisdom, power, authority, intelligence, care? How do you do that? Poetry, symbol, right? So the first one was a lion. How do you describe God's royalty, authority? The king of the jungle is the lion. So he's royal. He has authority. There's the ox. In ancient times, what was stronger than an ox? What had more power than the ox? If the ox was going to go somewhere, what are you going to do to stop him? The face of the man. The intelligence. And then there's the eagle. The eagle was interesting. The eagle, in those days, was not this immense, it wasn't a symbol of this power and fierceness. The eagle, get this, was a picture of compassion and care. So there's the mother eagle. It wasn't an eagle. It was like a vulture. Not a vulture. It was a big bird. They're up there on the tree with the baby birds. And the baby bird has to fly someday. So here's the mother bird. She's going to, beep, get out. And the baby bird has to, you know, figure out how to fly. Okay? So now he's going to try to fly. If he makes a mistake and he starts falling, the daddy bird, the father bird, is down there ready to catch him and carry him up. In Exodus, God told Israel, I carried you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. I cared for you. Are you seeing the picture? How do you describe the compassion of God? The royal lion, the powerful ox, the intelligent man, the compassionate eagle, right? That's the government of God. That's the administration of God. That's the power of God. That's how God orders his creation. Notice, it's all the animals represented. And four. Four meaning what? The totality of the earth, right? Four corners of the earth, four winds of the earth, four living creatures, representing the totality of natural order that God has put. And he is governing all of this with his authority and compassion. Is God not beautiful? Is God not great? How great is your God? What's the eyes? The eyes. There's eyes everywhere, right? The front, the back, above the wing, below the wing. The eyes. I remember when I was in junior high school, I was discovering girls. And girls were not discovering me at all. And there was this girl I liked, and all I can think about was this girl the whole time. And I remember, I still remember to this day, I'm in the mirror in front of, you know, in the bathroom, and I'm trying to pose in front of it, and I'm thinking, ooh, this is coming out, and this, and the hair. The only thing I can think of is, oh, if this girl could see me now, if she knew how cool I looked in the bathroom, or in my room, I'm thinking of her. Is she thinking of me? Does she even know about me? You know, that's the heart of a little 13-year-old boy, Southern California. Or I'm in PE class, and I'm running, and I feel strong, and I'm going so fast. Does she see me? Does she know I'm putting forth this energy? Does she see how strong I'm being? And now the equivalent of that is Facebook. I want the world to see how smart I am, how cool I am, how resourceful I am, how philosophical I am. Give me a like. Give me something. If you only could see me, please. There are eyes in heaven that see everything. Does he even know what they did to me? Does he care about where I am right now? What they said. The eyes are above and below, in front and in back. The government of God is omniscient. He knows everything. You can understand. Now, there ain't no girl or no boy who could care about you like God cares about you. They can't see. You can have all the Instagrams, Facebooks, Snapchats, and all that. It's not enough. It doesn't compare to what God can see. The wings. Two to cover the feet. Because when you're in the presence of God, you come humble. Two, to cover their eyes. Look, man, even the highest angels can't look. And two, to fly. To do God's will with speed and immediacy. So, what else am I looking at? Oh, yes. And then there's the thunder, the lightning. It's amazing. The thunder and the lightning are not above the throne, around the throne. They're coming from the throne. Right? The chaos, the power. Have you ever been in a thunderstorm? Like, what was it, Friday? That was okay. That was all right. I remember growing up Southern California, quick story. We had such a powerful thunderstorm. Back in the 1990s, you had car alarms, right? And the thunder would be like, boom, boom, boom. And then the car alarms would be going off. Because it was so powerful and so loud. Yeah. Here's the throne of God. Boom, boom, boom. The angels, the thrones, the elders, the worship. Ah, the worship. So the beauty, the order, and now the worship. Those four living creatures are saying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's three ways to talk about God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, was, is, and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, let's just marinate on holiness. What does it mean, holy? Seinaru, seinaru, seinaru. Now, some preachers and Bible teachers, they'll say, well, it means different, separate. Separate, separate, separate. Is that what it means? Maybe it means moral. Just good, right? God is moral, moral, good, good, good. なんか足りないね。なんとかできない。 Holy. The word holy in all of the Bible, if you want to talk about God and only God, the best word that you could come up with is holy. Okay? So to say that God is God, holy means God-ish. It's only God. It's not love, love, love. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Compassion, compassion, compassion. Forgiveness, forgive. Blessed, blessed. No, no, no. Love plus mercy plus compassion plus power plus goodness plus authority plus glory plus honor plus majesty. That's holy. Put it all together. All of it together is holy. That is only God. Only God can be holy. Amen? But here's the thing. It's going to get real good now. God says you can make a shovel holy. In the temple of God, there would be a fire, and in the fire, there would be ashes. And the shovel to pick up those ashes would be holy. Because the shovel belonged to the work of God. So if it belongs to God, it became holy. You with me? But here's the thing. God says, be holy as I am holy. Only God is holy, but he says the shovel can be holy. Because the shovel cannot be moral. You can't say a moral shovel. A moral person, yes. So there's all these commandments in the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. Be holy like your God is holy. Because you belong to God. And you belong for his service and his will. So now there's this thing about God which he's going to share with us. It's called the communicable attributes of God. It's what God can share with us. Because look, there are some things that we cannot be. We can't be omniscient like God. We cannot be omnipresent like God. We are not omnipotent, like, right? But God says, be holy like me. He says, you can share in my holiness. Here's one way you can apply that. Isaiah, he saw the throne of heaven. He sees the cherubim, the four living creatures. The minute he sees it, he says, I am doomed. I'm dead. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a preacher, but I'm a filthy foul mouth. And so here's the thing. One of the cherubim takes a burning coal from the fire in the temple. He puts it on the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah is cleansed. This is crazy. Because here's the thing. Have you ever changed a diaper before? Have you? Okay. Yeah. It's not holy at all. There's nothing holy about you. You open that thing and there's a smell, okay? And then you have to be careful, because if it gets on this thing, this becomes unclean. And it gets on this, and so you are, it's like you got to, you know, and you put it in a bag, and you put another bag, and you don't put it with the other garbage. You put it in a separate garbage. Because the dirty, unclean thing, if it comes in contact with something clean, the clean thing becomes dirty. Yes? Not holiness. The coal from the holy place of God touched the unclean mouth, and the mouth became clean. Jesus, the Holy One of God, comes to a leper with a disease on his skin. He touches the leper. The leprosy doesn't come to him. His holiness comes into the leper, and the leper is... Is that good? That's Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. So this whole week, I'm in my classroom. And in my classroom, before every class, Jesus, you are in me. I am holy. And these students aren't going to make me clean, unclean. Your goodness, your truth, your light, your love, your compassion, your mercy, your joy, your patience, your holiness is going to go from me into my students, because you are holy. Amen? That's how it works. Holy, holy, holy. And finally, the last bit of worship at the end of the chapter. So the first four angels, they get into it. And then the 24 elders, they see them worshiping. We got to get into it. So they start worshiping. And here's their song. Verse 11, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things. By your will, they were created and have their being. So here's all of creation. The angels, the people of God, the living creation. Everything is worshiping God and saying, to you are praise, glory, power. Why? Why are we worshiping you? Because you're some small God and you need people to tell you how good you are. There's this comedian. He was insulting Christians and insulting God, insulting Muslims, and just insulting every faith. It was pretty funny. Religion, he was insulting it. And people were walking out. They came to see a comedy show. Then some guy starts making fun of their God and to get up and walk out. And he made a very good point. He says, yeah, because maybe your God is so delicate and so soft that just a little insult from one comedian, that really hurts his feelings, right? Our God is not like that. Our God is not some God, if you don't worship him, he's going to have a bad day. No, 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 no. It's not what this is about. Why is he worthy of all power, honor, and glory? Why? Because he made everything. Listen now. If you believe in these spirits, these gods of the rivers and the trees and the stones, fine. They did not make you. There is a God who made the stones, the rivers, the mountains, the stars, the moons, the clouds. He made it. And if he is real, you owe him everything. You owe him. That's just a fact. If my sons, I have five sons, one daughter, I get up 6 o'clock in the morning, get my breakfast, get my meal, and go to work and bust myself at work. I worked 12 hours yesterday. Don't pity me. I know you work hard too, right? On a Saturday, from 7 o'clock a.m. to 7 p.m., okay? Just so that they can have some pizza. They can have some Netflix. They can have their little birthday present, right? Now, I come home. They're gone. I say, where's my boys? Where's my children? Ah, they're at Tanaka's house. So I go to Tanaka. Kong, 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 kong. Tanaka opens the door. Habakon. Otsukare-sama. I say, where's my children? Your children. What do you mean? Kyohei, Kenzo. What's the names? Kazumasa Kosuke. All right? Where are they? Oh, they're right here. Your children. And I come in, hey, boys. They're like, who are you? What do you mean, who am I? I'm your dad. No, Tanaka is my dad. And they start going to Tanaka. Papa, papa, arigato. Thank you for the present. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for the money. Thank you. And I'm saying, what's going on here? I made you. You're my children. And they're given all the honor, glory, and service to some guy, Tanaka. Who is this Tanaka? Right? It doesn't make any sense. It's not right. If God made you, if you are his child, you owe him. The first thing that we do as people, not as Christians, not as a church, as created beings, the first responsibility we have is to say we are his creatures. If we cannot do that, there's no understanding of a savior. You do not have any clue what Jesus is, what redemption is, what the gospel is, if you don't have a clue who God is and who's the creator and the maker of all things. We start there. Listen to me. If you're a non-believer, if you're a non-Christian, if you don't belong to this church, my message to you is this. God is real. He sits on a throne and he judges with all power, authority, and all love. And he wants you to be holy. And he will do anything he can to break into your holy, to break into you to make you holy. You know what he did? He sent himself in the form of his son to take your sin and to give you his holiness. Listen to me. You don't need to know that yet until you need to know that there is a God in heaven. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you think you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, come back to your first love. Come back to the love you once knew. Come back to the one who made you, who created you. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He sees everything that I go through, and he loves me with a love that conquered death. Your first responsibility is to understand who he is, where he is. See God, his government, his power, his beauty, and worship him along with all the elders and all the four living creatures. That is how great your God is. Amen. Well, let's take some time. I want to guide you in some meditation, if that's okay. So let's bow our heads. We'll meditate a little bit. You can't draw a picture of heaven. You can't draw a picture of the throne room. But you've got the best that you've got, and that is an imagination blessed by the Spirit of God. Acknowledge him as your creator. Agree with the highest order of angels of his holiness. Find the door that's open to you. The door is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door that you could walk through me and know the Father. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just as the angels honor you, just as the 24 elders bow before you, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, as we bow our heads, we bow our hearts. We bow our knees. We lay ourselves before you in repentance and in faith. You are worthy because you created all things, and by your will, all things are made. Even me. Take that into your heart, brother, sister. Enlighten yourself, my dear friend, with this truth. And come to your Maker today, because he has come to you. And open your heart to him, because he is willing to open the door to you. I can show you the world. Let him show you the new world. Come to him today. Father, this is our prayer, O God, that you would save us and save us all. Save us completely. Save us for heaven. Save us for the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth. Save us from sin. Save us from the devil. Save us from hell. Save us from ourselves. Lord Jesus, save us, Lord God. And Lord, we will sing and join with the angels, the 24 elders, and we will worship you. Hallelujah. We worship you even now. In Jesus' name, amen.